Ron, it's rolling around that time again for the Jefferson Davis birthday commemoration at the Jefferson Davis State Historic Site. Tell me what the plans are.
The plan is we will get started on Friday, May the 30th. The reenactors and the sutlers and all those folks will start arriving to register and set up. This year we'll be doing something that we haven't been able to do in the past because school has always been out. But because the Christian County School System won't get out until after this, we do have a school group that will be in Friday morning, and one of the reenactor groups have agreed to set up early Friday morning so they can do a living history for that school. Friday night, traditionally, we show a movie off the side of the monument, and the movie for that night will be is called The General. And then our biggest day, of course, is Saturday, May 31st. We will kick off at 8:30 in the morning with a welcome, and then with a formal laying of the wreath in front of the monument, and then we will have a series of speakers. Like, for instance, we have General Lee, General Jackson, and General Jeb Stuart that will be here, and so we'll have a program called Meet the Generals about 9 o'clock that morning in front of the monument. And then we'll also have at 10 o'clock the ladies' tea up in our large pavilion, and then at 11:30 they'll have their lunch basket auction. And then at 1 o'clock Saturday, we will have the Miss Confederate pageant that we do every year. And then Jefferson Davis will do a presentation that afternoon. William Turner, the local historian, will do a presentation that afternoon on the history of the park. And then the one thing that most people come out to see also is at 3 p.m. we'll have a battle reenactment out on the front lawn. So it's shaping up to be a real interesting day. We'll also have a battlefield surgeon here, and that'll be set up, and he'll be talking about medicine and battlefield medicine during the war. At 7:15 that night, we'll have a reenactor's ball in our large pavilion, and so people will be dressed in period dress, dancing to the music and the dances of the period, and they will ask people from the public to come in and join them on the dances, so it's a fun time. And so the night ends with the reenactor's ball, so we'll probably wrap up Saturday around 10 p.m. So Saturday's a real long day. We also, on Sunday, then they will go to church at Bethel Baptist or the Methodist Church here in Fairview. But at Bethel Baptist, which is actually sitting on the birth site of Jefferson Davis, they will have the silver communion set that he gave to them when they do communion over there that Sunday. They do it every year for the birthday week. They have a special room that's a dedication room to Davis with artifacts in there. They'll have that open for the public to come through and look and view and everything as well. And then we'll have another battle reenactment on Sunday, and that battle reenactment will be around 1 o'clock, and then it'll be followed by the cutting of the 206th birthday cake for Jefferson Davis with punch. Now, also, we have something new that we just got in yesterday, and we'll have it until July 15th. Is a traveling exhibit about John Hunt Morgan and the horse soldier. And so we're very excited about that. Part of that exhibit is the cell door for the jail cell that he was in when he was captured in Ohio. And then we also have the flag that his cavalry rode under on display in here as well. And then we have other artifacts like pistols and those type of things that'll be here as well. And then we'll also have a panel display that talks about John Hunt Morgan and the cavalry, and that will be a new addition for us, and we'll have that until July the 15th. It's shaping up to be a very nice weekend this year.
Ron, at the site, is there inclusion of the world of African Americans during this period and in this world?
During the birthday weekend, we don't have a specific program on the involvement of the African Americans in the Civil War. But we do have a living history program in September where we have the U.S. 12th Color Heavy Artillery Group out of Camp Nelson that comes down every year and do a living history on the black soldiers' role in the Civil War.
What about the people who were enslaved in the counties around this monument? How are they involved in this state historic site?
As far as now, we have a lot of the blacks in the local area and stuff that actually come out here and do family reunions here and have family picnics here. because one of the things when I was assigned here that I wanted to do was I wanted to get all members of the community back involved with this park. And since I've been here, we've had at least four or five black family reunions here and family picnics here. We've had much more black visitation here since I've been here. I speak with those groups and talk to them about Jefferson Davis, and most of the conversation is about the flag and what people perceive the flag to stand for. And I've had conversations with blacks and whites here who come in and tell me that they believe the flag stands for racism. And then we have a conversation about that. And I remind them that the last time they saw this flag and the only time they see this flag is when hate groups like the KKK use it as their symbol. But that wasn't the intent of the flag. The intent of the flag was a country's flag that they fought under, like we fight under the present-day flag today. Everybody that I've spoken to, they had to agree, well, you're right, because the only times I saw the flag is the KKK had it. And I said, yeah, I said, unfortunately, the flag gets that stigma because they used it. I said, but my point is this. Before that flag, and even after that flag, the KKK used the American flag as well. So why doesn't the American flag have that stigma as well? And more atrocities have been committed on people in this country, especially people of color in this country, under the American flag than that's ever been committed under that flag. So why doesn't the American flag have that same stigma? People generally doesn't have an answer for that. And you know, I told them, I said, well, when you start coming from the Civil War era, the North won, so they're not going to put that stigma on their own flag. If you look at history objectively and you look back, it's going to show you that more racism and more atrocities was committed on people of color in this country on the American flag than has ever been committed on that flag, because that flag was only in existence for 4 or 5 years at that period. I think it's an educational thing that needs to happen, not only here but across the country, when you look at what the flags originally stood for and not for what they're being used for now. And then it's easier to then accept that flag for what it is, or I should say what it was, and not for what is being portrayed to be now.
It sounds like this site gives you a tremendous opportunity to really explore issues that are still with us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I believe that, too. I mean, after I got here and after the first few months that I was here, that kind of hit me hard that this is an excellent educational opportunity time. And that's what I've been trying to do as a park manager here, is trying to do that educational piece with the public and the community, and to try to, in some form or fashion, to ease that tension that exists, and then to be able to hopefully to allow people then to be able to take a step back and take a deep breath and then try to look at this history objectively instead of emotionally. When we look at it emotionally, we'll never get past where we are now.
Ron, where did you study history?
The University of California at Berkeley.
Are you a Californian by birth?
Nope, I'm from Pembroke, Kentucky. I was in the Marine Corps in Southern California when I retired, and my wife is from the Palo Alto area in Northern California. So after I retired, we moved up there because her mom was terminally ill, and I went to community college up there, and my English instructor at the community college gave me a packet, and it was a entrance form to Berkeley. And he told me, I guarantee you'll get in, and I filled it out, and I got in. Every day you're there, they drill it in your head that you're in the top 7% of students in this country.
Well, it's awful good to meet you, and thanks for talking about the park with me.
Not a problem. Anytime. I hope you get to come out someday.